Is this the way that we often picture our God? As holy, holy, holy. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. Or is it sometimes that we are tempted to think our God is ordinary, ordinary, ordinary? And some small places are filled with some glory. Maybe when we begin to think less of who he is, we begin to lose sight of not only our God, but where we stand in relation to him. Now consider how high of a standard our God can set for those who are to serve him. Dare we ever claim to hold a position of service in the kingdom of our holy God?
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with rock solid hope in Rim Country.
May 27th, 2018. Isaiah 6:1-8.
Many companies will have different standards that they set for the people that work for them, right? Sometimes the standard is set pretty low. Maybe some might argue that the standard for NFL players is kind of low. They can get away with a lot of things and maybe face a fine or suspension, but they're still part of the league. If they maybe drive while intoxicated or convict themselves of many crimes, then yes, they're probably going to be kicked out of the league. The league has a right to set its standards. And we find this in lots of workplaces, right? You see, when you're driving down the road, the "How's my driving?" sign. Because companies want their drivers to drive safely, and they want you to report them if they don't. And I'm sure after a few complaints, someone could lose their position. And those standards sometimes are even more strict. Some companies, it takes just one mistreatment of a customer, one obscene gesture or word, and you're fired. Or the military, right? If you're serving in the armed forces, one single act of subordination or derelict of duty could not only get you severely reprimanded, but you could be dishonorably discharged. Now consider how high of a standard our God can set for those who are to serve him. How high does he set the bar when it comes to serving him in his kingdom? And dare we ever claim to hold a position of service in the kingdom of our holy God? Well, this morning as we look at God's word in Isaiah chapter 6, we see just who can answer the king's call. The Isaiah says this vision takes place when King Uzziah had died. Now, King Uzziah was somebody that certainly was not really understanding what it meant to serve God. Uzziah had been greatly blessed by God, and yet he let it go to his head. Let me explain. He was actually someone that ruled Israel from the age of 16 and on as king, or Judah rather. And as the king of Judah, things were wonderful under him. The borders expanded. He stretched the boundaries of Judah all the way down to Egypt. Economic success followed and flourished with the political success. He fortified cities and towers so that they felt secure. And it was almost, as some describe, like the kingdom of Solomon was being renewed under Uzziah. And for the 52 years that he was blessed to reign, you can imagine things started to go to his head. You see, around about 40 plus years or so, Uzziah considered himself pretty close to God. After all, God had blessed him in many ways, so he decided that he could serve God just as the priest served God in the temple. And Uzziah made this mistake. He brought incense to offer himself before God in the temple. And it's then that he learned just how unfit for service he was. Immediately, he was struck with leprosy. And this man who thought he was buddies with God realized his position was not to enter and to take on something for himself. And he was left with that leprosy until his dying days. And so that's what Isaiah says. He says, after King Uzziah died, Uzziah was missing something, wasn't he? What was he missing? It's what we begin to miss. If we think that we can take our God and put him in our pocket as if we control his ways and he serves us. As when we begin to think that our God is small and somehow inconsequential to us and we can make the decisions, then we begin to fall into that same trap that Uzziah did, who, though he was richly blessed by God, forgot his real position under God. What was his mistake? It was forgetting that God is far above him. And that's what Isaiah sees after Uzziah dies. He sees the real king. And it says, Isaiah beholds God, and he's looking at the temple, and there is God seated on his throne above the temple. You see, the human man-made temple cannot contain the true God. It is only a representation of his presence on earth. No, the Lord Almighty of all, he sits enthroned above this earth. And as Isaiah is describing the glory of the true God, it says that the hem of his garment, it only fills the temple. Just the hem. Because God cannot fit in man-made dwellings. God is far above us. And Isaiah describes those who are surrounding the throne of God as seraphim. Now, this is the only time in Scripture this word is really used. Probably a type of angel, if a type of angel, the most noble and highest of rank, because they were surrounding the throne of God. And these seraphim, their name literally means burning ones, were surrounding this one who was called the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty. And even them, these sinless, perfect spiritual beings, as they surrounded the throne of God, would not dare to approach him with their face, but covered their faces with two of their wings. And with two of their wings, in sign of humility and respect, covered their feet. And with two more wings, were standing by, ready to serve the Lord in any moment. God is holy. As the vision continues, as he sees and beholds what no one has ever seen, he's looking at the throne of God and he hears these seraphim crying their chorus to one another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. So their song reveals further how our God is above us. The cry that they have, this threefold holy, is a word that's used to describe, yes, sinless, blameless, spotless. But holy is also used in Hebrew to describe one who is set apart. As those angels cry out in praise of their God, they're saying, unique, set apart, different. Our God is altogether different from his created world, men, women, spiritual beings and angels and all created things. He stands above and separate from it all. He is holy. And he is, yes, sinless, blameless, and perfect. He is, as they described him, not just the one whose hem fills the temple, but it said the whole earth, they cried, is filled with his glory. God, the holy God, is all present, all knowing, all powerful, and eternal. And as Isaiah hears this cry and this description of our God, that threefold, holy, 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 echoes what is found throughout the pages of Scripture. Not only is our God above us, in his position, but his very being and essence is unique. That threefold cry echoes that threefold person, Father, Son, and Spirit of our God. Three persons in one God, beyond understanding, the God who is altogether holy and unique. And as they're describing him and singing this praise, just the voice of those burning ones, those secret servants of fire, their voice shakes the foundation of the temple and the place where Isaiah stands. Isaiah is beginning to get the picture of who our God is and how awesome our triune God, three in one, is above his people and all of his creation. And what's described, those burning ones as they praise him and the shaking, there's smoke filling the temple. Reminds one of what you read about the description of God in Psalm 97. It says, clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. You know, the writer to the Hebrews rightly says, Our God is a consuming fire. And perhaps that's why Isaiah could only describe those which surrounded his thrones as burning ones. God is holy, fierce, and powerful. That's what Isaiah sees. Is this the way that we often picture our God? As holy, holy, holy. Heaven and earth are full of his glory. Or is it sometimes that we are tempted to think our God is ordinary, ordinary, ordinary? And some small places are filled with some glory. See, when we begin to think less of who he is, we begin to lose sight of not only our God, but where we stand in relation to him. Isaiah saw just how far above God the Lord Almighty was, how far above him God was. And it's there that Isaiah, standing before God and seeing all this and experience all this, has to cry out as he recognizes his position. When all this occurs, he says, "Woe is me. I am a person of unclean lips. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And I've seen the Lord Almighty." He basically then says, "I'm a dead man." Isaiah knows, who can stand in the presence of a holy God? If those seraphim and angels dare to even show their face, how could he stand before God with his uncleanliness and his sin? See, Isaiah got right what so many often fail to get right. That sin separates us from God who is altogether holy. Sin, our sin, reeks in the presence of a holy God. Sin not only divides, sin kills. How can you and I, if Isaiah, who is by all means left described in Scripture as a righteous man, if he cannot stand in the presence of God, how can you and I? If Uzziah, who was blessed for 50 years, 52 years, is made to remember where he stands when he tries to serve his God, how can we dare to approach our God in service? And really, our God, who is a consuming fire, ought to destroy every unclean act, every wicked word that's been spoken from every unclean heart. Enter his service. But Isaiah has a wonderful revelation. It's there after this is taking place, and he's crying, "Woe is me, I'm dead." There that the angel, the seraphim, comes, takes a coal from the altar, touches his mouth with it, says, "There, this has touched your lips. Your sin has been taken away, your guilt taken away, and your sin is completely covered." Isaiah is basically told, "You are now holy. You are set apart from sin. You are made to be one who can stand in the presence of your God." And Isaiah has something at that time which then empowers him to serve his God for the next 40 years in a hard life of service with opposition, because he knows his God is holy and his God has set him apart. You and I too, we have been made holy. The Scriptures declare, though we are of unclean heart and live among unclean people, that we have been washed, made clean. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, saying, "Christ loved the church and made her holy, cleansing her with the washing with water through the word." Make her holy. At the moment of your baptism, the angels rejoiced and praised God because you were cleansed of all sin and of all guilt and made holy in the sight of your God. Every sin taken away. You stand before God now declared, as the Scriptures describe you, a saint. That is, a holy one. But like the burning ones and like the angels and spiritual beings that surround the throne of our God, you can say, "I can stand in his presence. My God has made me holy." After the waters of the baptism flow across, the promise stands true. There, see? The Lord has taken away your sin, and your sin is covered. See, when Isaiah sees this vision, as he beholds the king on his throne, He is made holy by the king and his word. It wasn't the coal from the altar itself that did it, but it was because it was connected to the word and promise of God. And when he was pronounced holy and sinless, it was because God had decreed it so. So it is with you and I. It's not the power of some special water or washing, but the power of the word of our God and faith which trusts that word that knows we have been declared holy. See, your sins have been washed away. You are holy. And we know this is true because Isaiah sees the Lord Jesus. That's what the Apostle John says as he describes this scene later. He says, Isaiah saw Jesus on his throne. The King, the Lord of all, the Holy One. In order that we might be cleansed, worked out his plan. And his plan for cleansing included what Isaiah prophesied, that the Holy One of Israel would come to redeem his people and make them clean. In order that you and I might be cleansed, the Holy One of Israel walked among an unclean people. And the Holy One of Israel, who is eternal, took on human flesh and lived among us, lived a holy and sinless life. And he who is set apart from us made that sacrifice on the cross so that the altar in heaven might have a cleansing for all of us with his blood. And we might be covered and our sin would be atoned for. And we'd be standing clean in our God's sight because of the work of his Son, his holy and living Son, the King over all, who fills and rules over all things, and now declares, see, you have been cleansed. Picture what he does for us as he says, take and eat, take and drink, my blood, my body, given for you for forgiveness of sins. See, this has touched you. My word, my promise says, your sins are forgiven. They have been covered. Stand holy in the sight of your God because of what he has done by his sacrifice and his payment. So, now what? Isaiah receives that word, the triune God saying, who will go for us? Who will I send? Send me, God, Isaiah says. Here I am. No longer trembling, but eager and willing to dedicate his life in service to the God who made him holy, who set him apart. And yes, some are, like Isaiah, called into full-time ministry by our Lord to carry out full-time work in the gospel. And that calling is what Isaiah had. But God still calls all of us his servants and has called all of us to be holy for that reason. The Apostle Peter says, you are a holy nation. And as that holy nation, you are a royal priesthood. Uzziah could not stand in the presence of God, but now you can through Christ as a priest, a holy royal priest, that you might serve your God now with your spiritual life of worship. Everything that you do, whether in word of your mouth or deed, to praise the God who made you holy. And then you and I, as we live these lives of service, can dare to serve the Lord, the God Almighty, our triune God, who has made us his own. And picture that. Someday, we'll also be serving him with all of his angels, standing before his throne, repeating that refrain, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. He has made us his own, made us his holy people, made us eager to serve him in righteousness. Dare we to answer the king's call and to serve him? Amen.